Joel Brigham, basketballinsiders.com, at Joel Brigham on Twitter. Not really where I thought we'd be today. Joel, welcome to the Morning Drive with TK here on ESPN 960.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I've been, I guess it's borderline, what would you call it, John? Has it been like pumping my own story here? I've been talking about picking the Warriors in five. So, you know, if you pick the Warriors in five and then they lose, but then they win game six, do I get an asterisk here because of the Green suspension? Do I kind of get it right?
No, I don't think anybody really cares about what we pick. You know?
Thank you.
I mean, I've done. Yeah, I don't know. No, just make you feel better. I you know, do so many predictions over the course of the year, and you know, we have guys that we do mock drafts every week at Basketball Insiders, and you know, we pick who's going to win playoff series, and you know, I even do this 50 outrageous NBA predictions article to start the year.
Love it.
And it always goes wrong. It never goes the way you expect it to. We're all idiots as far as
things
are concerned. So, but, you know, it was a fair guess to think that it would be quick work of the Cavaliers. I mean, I think we all thought that in a historic year for Golden State, they'd clean up pretty nicely in the finals. But the Draymond Green thing put a kink in it. And obviously we're going to at least six games back to Cleveland. It may go seven. But, you know, last night's was a testament to the will of LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. And here we are. We're going to six games at least.
So for those people, and you know, I never would have picked the Cavs to win the series. I just, in my DNA, I've seen enough. Maybe I thought during the course of the season that the Spurs would have the pedigree to maybe catch the Warriors. They didn't even get to the Warriors, and OKC's kicking themselves. They think they probably should be in the finals, but there was no part of me that thought the Cavs had the makeup, either coaching staff or mentality up and down the lineup to beat the Warriors. But some people did. What is it about this? I guess we saw last night why the buy-in, huh? Because when they perform and they have a little bit of a loose ride when they're allowed to go where they want to go on offense, that's a pretty tough team to beat.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the disdain for Cavaliers basketball is, you know, this is kind of an isolation basketball team, and they're playing a, you know, run and gun, spread the ball around, three-point shooting team in Golden State, which I think a lot of us see as kind of the future, you know, of the NBA, mm-hmm. is that's where things are going. And they see LeBron's style as kind of old school and plotting and stagnant. And so I think when you're looking at, you know, the way those two teams play, you know, we know how much success the Warriors style of ball has had the last couple of years. And, you know, last night, I know we had 82 points out of, you know, Kyrie and LeBron. But again, a lot of that was isolation and, you know, Kyrie Irving pulling up shots on his own and, you know, LeBron James pulling up shots on his own. And you know, I don't think LeBron James had a single assist in the first half. So, you know, more isolation basketball, which last night worked. You know, when, you know, the Warriors' two best interior defenders and Draymond Green and then, you know, Andrew Bogut got hurt later in the third quarter are out, you're kind of free to do those things. You know, we'll see what adjustments Golden State makes in game six, but I've got a feeling we're not going to see 82 points or anything close to that, you know, out of those two guys again. So kind of a two-man show in Cleveland. It worked in game five, but it's not really sustainable over the course of the series against a team as good as Golden State.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. Joel Brigham with the basketballinsiders.com. When I saw 61 all at the half, it kind of hit me like that's a lot of points. And then if you tell me before the game that the Cavs are going to be sitting on 93 going into the fourth quarter, I'm saying they win that game.
Yeah, I mean, not a doubt about it. And I know we had a good, strong, you know, first half from Klay Thompson and Golden State, but they didn't get really anything from their bench at all. I think the high score off the bench was Sean Livingston, who had seven, and nobody else even had more than two or three. A pretty short lineup for Golden State. And Steph Curry did not look like himself. You know, there was this point for the end of the third quarter where, you know, the Warriors kind of chopped the lead down a little bit, and they had the ball 15 seconds left. And it's one of those things where, you know, the Warriors are down by 10 with 40 seconds left, and they somehow close the quarter down by four or something, you know. And it's a shot you always see Steph Curry kind of just put a nail in there and put a dagger to your heart, and then you missed it. You missed that three at the end of the quarter. And it was kind of one of those nights for Curry. I know he had 5 3-pointers, but it wasn't a great shooting night for him. He still doesn't look healthy. And so with those things going on, and with the Cavaliers just scoring so many points, It was not going to be the Warriors' night. It just wasn't. I think with Green out, especially defensively, they were down a really important piece.
Yeah, that's important to say. And you know, Steph's gonna get too much credit when he rolls, and when he doesn't, he's gonna catch probably too much of the blame. But I look at Harrison Barnes. I've been on him a little bit here.
Oh yeah,
38 minutes, 2 for 14, 1 for 6, and you know the mantra is at home. You know, your role players, your significant contributors step up and play better. He didn't, and I looked up in the games where he's been forced to take 10 or more shots in the playoffs, he's 36 for 100. He's shooting 36%. So, you know, you think a guy like that, more minutes, more touches, you know, he's going to relish it. And how many open looks did he get? I mean, they weren't even covering him.
No, you're right. I can't. I mean, the fact that he made 2 shots is surprising to me.
You don't remember
the box scores. Yeah, I'm looking at the box scores this morning, and I'm like, when did he hit 2 shots? I mean, every 3-pointer he took, including quite a few wide-open ones, were off the mark. Andre Iguodala missed a bunch of threes, too. I mean, they were firing up there. That's their M.O., but we're not falling last night. And, you know, Barnes is a guy who is going to be a free agent this summer too, you know. So this really would have been a great chance for him to. I mean, one great game in the finals.
Yep.
You know, if Harrison Barnes is the difference maker in this game and he scores, you know, 20 points and knocks down 6 threes and, you know, has a little better shooting game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Harrison Barnes might have cost himself millions of dollars by not taking advantage of his opportunity, because you know he's a guy who's going to get overpaid this summer no matter what happens, you know, with the salary cap going up the way it's going to go up. But he could have really gotten paid with a strong showing in this series, and especially in this game. And, boy, did he fall short last night.
Right. Right, Joe. I mean, even if he had a big fourth quarter, let's say he has the same numbers-ish, but he hits, say, 2 or 3 threes in the fourth and they lose, but it's closer. Yeah, he becomes then a guy, oh, he really stepped up, rather than the narrative is he did not step up. And it's interesting, you know, he's one of the guys, and I think Draymond's, he's a great player, but I think his overall, his stats and the narrative of his career is certainly enhanced by where he plays, the system he plays in, the coaching staff and the super, you know, the Splash Brothers, but even more for Harrison Barnes. I mean, you put him on any other team and are we talking about him? No.
Yeah, no. And that's, I mean, Draymond Green, I don't want to sell Draymond Green short. He's the only player in the league that can defend all 5 positions at an elite level. You know, I mean,
you're right.
He's redefined the, you know, smaller guy playing center in the NBA. So no, I think on a different team, Draymond Green probably still pretty effective, if not where he is now. But Barnes, like you said, somebody's going to overpay that guy. And when he changes teams, I think we're really going to see what he's all about. I mean, I like Harrison Barnes, but even coming out of North Carolina in 2012, you know, was a guy with some questions about, you know, his leadership and his, you know, shooting percentages, and those things have never really been good. And you know, he's on a team where as a role guy, he makes a lot of sense, but if you're going to pay him, you know, like a DeMar DeRozan or something and expect to get that kind of production, it's not going to happen. And I think we saw a little bit of that last night. Still as a third or fourth wheel on that team, had a chance to step up and wasn't able to do it. So,
right.
And I like Harrison Barnes as a guy. He's a really good dude, but I just don't know that, you know, as a superstar, we're ever going to see that happen. He's going to be more of a role player and have his hot nights and have his slow nights. And unfortunately for him and the Warriors, they used him last night, and it was one of those slow nights.
Do you think just sort of off the path here? Do you think he signs a one and then an opt out for next year when the really big money comes, or do you think he takes his money while it's there and tries to do a 3 or 4 or 5 year deal?
Yeah, I mean, if this were a year ago, I suppose he could go that way. But I don't think agents, with the exception of maybe Kevin Durant's agent, are really looking at that 1 year possibility at all. They want their guys to take the guaranteed money, because you know how injuries work in this league. You know, I'll tell you, we saw, you know, Paul George playing at an absolute dominant level 2 years ago and just breaks his leg in a nasty way at an exhibition. You know, I mean, these things can happen at any time doing anything. So if Harrison Barnes is going to make probably, you know, 30% more this summer than had he been a free agent last summer anyway. I mean, the cap's going up enough, I think, for him to cash out right now. I can't imagine him or his agent taking a shorter deal. They'll get big money this summer, and they'll definitely take it.
Right. All right. Going to game 6, Do you think it really matters to the Warriors? I mean, they're obviously they're capable. I thought they'd have the chip last night. I thought, you know, down Draymond at home, I thought it was a recipe, perfect recipe for them to have a little less pressure and really perform and win it. Now, a little bit of pressure. I still think they're in control. Like Kerr said, I'd rather be them than the Cavs. But do you see them kind of easing on down the road, or has this awakened the Cavs? Because I don't know that I've seen enough in character from this Cavs team or on the coaching staff to have them really deliver and win three in a row.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, they would have to win three games in a row against
and twice,
you know, a 73-win team,
right,
which is, you put it that way, it's hard to see it happening. I did this article after Draymond Green was suspended looking at, you know, what happened in games in the playoffs when a, you know, all-star caliber player got suspended in the playoffs. And, including last night now, in every situation in the last, you know, 20 years when a major player got suspended, the other team won.
Wow.
I mean, every single time the other team won the next game.
That's a great idea for you to do that. That's very forward thinking, because I would have said, I was expecting you were going to say the opposite.
It was. I mean, every time, you know, so the Cavaliers winning last night was in lockstep with recent history. It's what happens. You know, you think about when J.R. Smith got his suspension last year ahead of the conference finals. The Bulls did win that next game. You remember when, Zach Randolph got suspended in 2014 for that game 7 against Oklahoma City, and they, of course, lost that game in that series. I mean, it goes all the way back to, you know, Derek Harper in 1994, and the Knicks lost that next game, too. So, every instance of someone getting suspended, they won the next game. But what isn't consistent is what happens in the actual series. A lot of times, you don't see a momentum shift from a guy getting suspended. It doesn't really change the course of the series. So it's not like this is something that changes momentum for Cleveland. It just gave Cleveland a chance to beat an underhanded team with, you know, one of their best players not out there, certainly their best defender not out there. I know they're going back home, and it certainly is lit a fire under LeBron James, who looked awesome last night.
Yeah.
I know Kyrie shot well last night, but I'm with you. I don't think this Cleveland team is deep enough. You know, their third best player had, you know, 2 points last night in Kevin Love, and has looked awful, in these finals. He's not been himself. They need a 3-point shooters like J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert and Kyrie and we haven't seen Channing Frye really at all. Those guys that hit those threes. Yeah, all those guys that knocked down all those threes earlier on in the playoffs, I mean, they were hitting threes at a record-setting pace. They need those guys to come back and knock down some outside shots. It has to be more than just LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, because those guys, I mean, it's the first time in history two teammates have scored 40 points in a game at the same time. So you're obviously not going to get that every night. You need more guys to step up, and I'm not sure Cleveland has it, whereas obviously Golden State absolutely does. So, I'm not positive. I think Cleveland can win a game 6 at home, but if this is going to go 7 back to Oracle, I don't see Cleveland winning a game 7 in Oracle. I think it's still the Warriors series to lose. Whether it's 6 or 7 at this point doesn't matter. I don't see the Cavaliers winning 2 more in a row.
Right. A couple more minutes with Joel Brigham with BasketballInsiders.com. You mentioned Kevin Love. Something's not right. The fit doesn't seem to be right. You know, they don't really run stuff for him that I can see. He's not a great defender on a team that really has, you know, their turnaround last year at the end of the year was defensively. And I think, you know, when they're dedicated to playing defense, it's a really, really good team. He just, you mentioned comfort or he's hurt. I don't know what it is, but we're not seeing, you know, it's not helping his situation, although, you know, he's not hurting at all. But he seems to be the easy scapegoat. And last night he was completely invisible.
Yeah, I don't know that it's all, you know, Kevin Love's fault.
No, not at all. No, I'm trying to figure out what percentage is just a bad fit.
it's 100% bad fit. I don't think the Cavaliers are using him to his strengths at all. When they made the trade for Kevin Love, you looked at the usage rate of, you know, LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love, and they're all in the, you know, mid-20s usage rate. You know for a fact that at least one of those guys, that was not going to be sustainable. And that guy ended up being Kevin Love. And what's happening is they want him to kind of float to the corner and just wait for a 3-pointer. Well, that's not really what he does. I mean, the guy can shoot threes, but he's also got a really good back-to-the-basket game and a pretty nice little arsenal of post moves. They had him as a, 24-point, 10-rebound guy like every year in Minnesota. They're not really using him the way he's accustomed to being used. And I don't think he needs to be the guy that scores 24 points every night. But, he could be used a lot more effectively than he's being used. But the fact is with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, those guys aren't going to give him the ball. It's just not going to happen. There's just not enough shots to go around. And,
right. And
Love is amenable to being a role player, but just it's hard to get your confidence going, your rhythm going when you're being, locked out of the offense to the extent that he is. So, going to a team that can give him a little more of a role, that can, work the offense around him a little bit more. Boston, I think, would be a great set for Kevin Love, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can totally see his career resuscitate. But this thing in Cleveland, this experiment's not working. They're going to have to look at moving him this summer. And unfortunately, I don't think Love's trade value has ever been as low as it's going to be right now. But they'll look to move him. Plenty of teams with cap space that can absorb a salary and trade. We'll see what happens, but I'd be surprised if Kevin Love is Cavalier next year.
Interesting. And my last thought for you is on that same thought process. I agree. I think somewhere, 6 or 7, the ending has already been written, and the Warriors are going to have the best back-to-back seasons in the history of the league with the championships and the 73 wins. What happens in Cleveland? Because the Warriors aren't going anywhere. They may even add Durant. I mean, in the West with OKC and the Spurs are still going to be good. I just, what happens with Believeland?
You got me coughing there. That was funny. Cleveland's going to have to make some changes. LeBron James is the linchpin there. The biggest difference between, Golden State and the Cavaliers is that, LeBron James makes $23 million and Stephen Curry makes $11 million, and that changes the kinds of things you can do in terms of bringing more guys in and more talent in. I don't know that Kevin Durant's going to go to Golden State. I don't know that Kevin Durant makes Golden State better. I don't know how you improve on 73 wins and
right. Potential
back-to-back championships. But, whatever they do in the offseason, even if they just stay put, they're still a really hard team to beat. And the Cavaliers just are going to have to make some moves. I think Kevin Love is their most tradable piece. But you look down that lineup and, my God, there's Mo Williams and there's Richard Jefferson.
And JR's been fooling people for a year. He's a great shooter sometimes and defends sometimes. But, I don't know, it's a mixed bag there for sure.
Yeah, it's not a very deep team, and that's what happens when you've got three expensive guys in a bunch of minimum contracts. The 2011 to 2014 Miami Heat model isn't working anymore.
Right.
A big three that a lot of isolation basketball, the way I discussed earlier, it's just not the way the NBA is going. You got to spread the ball around. You need unselfish players. You need three-point shooters. And the Cavaliers got to figure out how to make some kind of something like that work around LeBron James, which we saw. And we saw in an earlier series when LeBron was averaging, his shots were being taken from an average of 1.6 feet away from the basket for a while. And the Cavaliers hit a record 77 three-pointers in that series. We've seen this formula work for the Cavaliers. They got to figure out, though, what guys can get that kind of game done more consistently, because this current makeup, it's a weird makeup. It's not a very deep team. It's an increasingly older team, too.
Right.
So they got some changes. Like I said, I think Kevin Love is their best chance to switch some things up. Otherwise, it's going to be bring in free agents on low salaries that want to play with LeBron. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's a tough measuring stick when you're really, really, really good, maybe the fourth best team in the NBA, and you're under this kind of scrutiny, but so it goes everywhere LeBron goes. We kept you a little too long. Joel Brigham, thank you so much for spending some extra time here with us on the Morning Drive with TK here on ESPN 960. Joel Brigham, basketballinsiders.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Joel Brigham. Enjoy the rest of the series and look forward to talking to you down the road. Great stuff. Appreciate it.
I will. Thanks for having me.